And now, Paul Meacham, Jr.
Today, we're privileged to have placed in our hands the most important of all messages, the gospel of Christ. Are we dealing wisely with our mission, or has the message been sent by way of a fool? We're going to look today at the importance of being a faithful messenger as we explore God's truth for the world. We thank all of you for joining us today. We hope that you'll take your Bible and be prepared to study along with us as we turn to God's Word for His wisdom. Now, 2 weeks ago, we began a study looking at one of the most famous of all Bible characters. This is the man, John, known by many as John the Baptist. We've entitled this study, His Name is John. These were the words that were spoken by Zacharias, the father of John, upon regaining his speech after the angel had struck him dumb because he didn't believe that John would be born. But he called his son John in accordance with God's commands. Our text for this study comes from a very short verse, John chapter 1 and verse 6. There we read that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, we began this study, first of all, by looking at the phrase, there was a man. It's very simple for us to understand that, but those words, though simple and short, mean great things to us. For we learned that God has chosen to do His will through man. We found out last week when we looked at the little word, sent, that God chose man and He sent man to do what He said needed to be done. A short word, but it contains great meaning for us. Because the act of sending and of being sent is really a matter of authority. It is something that shows who's in charge. Our lesson came to us from Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 8, where a Roman centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word. He had asked Jesus to heal his servant, and he says, you don't need to come to my house, just speak a word, my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. Now what he's saying is, I understand you have authority over disease, and I know what authority means. He explains it this way, I say to one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does it. He understood what authority meant. Now, in this act of sending, we see that God is the one in authority, and God sends those who are under His authority. First of all, He sent the prophets. We learn later on, as an extension of that, in the spirit and power of Elijah, He sent John. And then, after the way had been prepared, the greatest of all, He sent Jesus. Now, in our study last week, we learned that in sending Jesus, there were six things about Jesus and the way that He approached this mission that had been given Him that we need to learn from, and we'll review those at this time. First of all, we need to know that Jesus was very serious about the mission that the Father gave Him. He took that mission seriously. That mission was one that sustained Him. He didn't become tired of doing it and quit. Rather, He carried it out until it was finished. The mission was the very reason that He came. It wasn't something He accomplished while He was here. It was His reason for coming here. We also learned that He came to deliver the message of another. That was the Father's message. That He came and was urgent about His mission, and when He was finished, He returned home. Now, we're going to take these six things and use them to help us in our study today. For this week, we continue the study by looking at the God who sent us and the mission that He has given us. A mission that we should complete by following the example set by Jesus. He was the one sent by God. Now, God has sent us today. He sent you and me. He calls all to come to Him that we might learn and be sent out into the world. Notice, if you would, Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 15. And He, this is Jesus, said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Very simple passage. You go into all the world and preach the gospel. Very simple to understand, yet it's a great task to carry out. Now, if we're going to complete this commission, this mission that He has given us, we also must be serious about our mission. Just as Jesus was serious about His, we must be serious about ours. Notice, if you would, Matthew chapter 28, where Matthew records this great commission, beginning in verse 18. Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." If you look at what Jesus wants us to do, that we go and make disciples of all the nations, you see why we must take this mission seriously. There are now over 6 billion people in the world. If we don't take this mission seriously, we will never carry it out. Just as the mission that our Lord had is something that sustained Him, that carried Him through, we should also find that same kind of support in the mission that has been given to us. Our mission should sustain us. Notice, if you would, Paul's writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, Paul was one who had done much work for the Lord, but had also suffered much. Here's his conclusion on the matter, beginning with me in verse 16. "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man, that's his body, is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." He calls his affliction a light affliction because it didn't last very long. It really wasn't that important. He knew that even though his body was dying, the inward man was being renewed day by day. That great renewing, that day by day learning and growing and striving to be better, is what sustained him. His mission sustained him. Just as was the case for our Lord, our mission should be our reason for going. His mission was his reason for coming. Ours should be our reason for going. Notice, if you would, Acts chapter 13, verse 47. "For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth." We should go as far as we possibly can, because without the light of the gospel, the ends of the earth, the people represented by that phrase, have absolutely no chance of salvation. Our mission, like Jesus's, is one that we should carry the message of the Father. We're not to go and to deliver our own message to people, but rather we are to deliver the Father's message. Now, I want to look at a few examples of this from the New Testament that we might take direct application from them. First of all, Acts chapter 4 shows us Peter and John. Notice with me beginning in verse 19. "But Peter and John answered and said to them," this is before the Sanhedrin council, "whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Peter and John were apostles, inspired men, but even then they could not create their own message. Rather, they carried the message that they had seen and heard of our Lord. Notice Peter later on in his life, 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. He says, "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God." Doesn't sound like Peter has changed his mind as he has gone through his ministry. Rather, he still teaches the same thing. The great apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16 says, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." Paul didn't teach his own message. Peter and John didn't deliver their own ideas. Rather, they gave the message that had been entrusted to them for delivery. They gave the Master's message. Our mission is the same. Just as our Lord was urgent in fulfilling His mission, we must be urgent in fulfilling ours. His mission was only 3 years long on this earth. We don't know how much time we have. We know that it will come to an end. The day will come when we cannot work, so we must work diligently now. In Colossians 4 and verse 5, Paul writes, "Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside," meaning outside of salvation, "redeeming the time." We need to be careful that we do remember that these people are living on borrowed time, that the time will come and they will have no other chance. We must carry the gospel to them. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11, Peter speaks to Christians regarding the kingdom. And then in the very next verse, 2 Peter 1, beginning in verse 12, he says, "For this reason, for the kingdom's sake, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right as long as I am in this tent," and by that he means his body, "as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me." Now, Jesus had shown Peter by example that time was short and needed to be redeemed. But he had also shown him that by telling him how he was going to die. That passage is found for us in the last chapter of the book of John, where our Lord tells Peter how he will die, that he will die the prisoner of other men. Now, finally, we need to notice that when our mission is complete, we will be able to return home to the Father. When Jesus was finished, He went back to heaven. He went home. He went to the Father. When our mission is finished, we also can go to the Father. Notice Paul, very late in his life here on the earth, 2 Timothy 4, and beginning in verse 6, he says, "I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing." Paul knew and looked forward to the time when he would be able to go home. We must do the same. We, when we finish our mission, can go home. If we take that mission seriously, if it's a mission that sustains us, if it is one that we work at diligently delivering the Father's message, we too can go home when our mission is over. But there's one final point that I want to make as we look at this idea of sending and being sent. It's important for us to realize that in order for us to be sent, we must be willing to be sent. We must be willing to be the Master's servant. He won't force any of us to do so. We must be willing. Jesus is that perfect example of willingness. We see it even in His death on the cross. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 18, says, "No one takes it from me." Now, this is Jesus speaking, and He's talking about His own life. "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself." When Jesus was crucified, they didn't take His life away. He gave up His life. He said, "I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." Jesus gave His life for me and for you. No man had the power to take His life away. Jesus was willing to be sent, willing to do the Master's will. We also must do the same thing. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, the prophet Isaiah said, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' But then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" We should have the same attitude. We should be willing to be sent.